The blessed month of Ramadan, Shahr-e Ramadan, the Azim, great month. With regards to this, us people, we, according to our understanding and knowledge, in the light of the Quran and the Hadith, we are doing some fikr. We are going through some of our concerns prior to dhikr, because this month, this, with regards to the whole deen, it has come to refresh the whole deen. It has come to refresh the whole deen. And deen, it isn't the name of just one thing. Different aspects there are within the deen, different sectors of the deen, different subjects of the deen. And every sector of the deen is very important. Every part of the deen is essential. It delivers us to paradise. Every part of the deen could take a person towards the hellfire, if not done correctly. So a person cannot just hope in one thing or grab one thing and say that this is the whole deen. فِسِّلْمِ كَافَّةٍ, Allah Ta'ala says, that totally come into the deen. And Ramadan that Allah Ta'ala has given, Allah has given Ramadan for this objective, that every branch of the deen, it should refresh every part of the deen. And alhamdulillah, when the deen arrives to us, and we get that opportunity during the 30 days, that weakness, we can correct it, improve it. And this is called to spend the time of Ramadan in the right way. That the defects are within us, the weaknesses within us, we shouldn't ignore them. Oh, I've just kept the fast. So what fast have you kept? If you've kept the fast, then you need to improve your deen, just like Ramadan explains to us. Correct it, improve it, rectify it. Ramadan fasting is not the name of leaving food and drink. The patient in hospital, he's also left food and drink. Yes, he's been told, if the doctor says to the patient, they stop eating. And we, for example, are not eating from morning till evening, but that patient, until he's not well, he's not eating. Isn't this the case? So this is not some achievement. Allah Ta'ala has just given an additional action so that all within a person can get refined and illuminated, and then it becomes easy for him to practice that. To consider just this is deen, this is not the case. Oh, this is fasting, not eating, drinking, this is not the case. That, oh, I break the fast, we start the fast with the date and we end the fast with the date, and that's the end of the story. Understand the meaning of fast. Understand the meaning. So everything, and what's the biggest thing for a human being in deen? Akhlaqiyat. Character. Conduct. Khulq. Manners. You know this, the Prophet ﷺ has told us this himself. So when it's such a great thing, akhlaq, and in akhlaq, the biggest status, you can say, level, grade, is to mend the ties. Say subhanallah, to maintain the ties. Yes, say subhanallah, subhanallah. With Allah's praise, I refresh you, and I also become refreshed and fresh, so that we can understand, and I can also explain to you. So are you paying attention to what I'm saying? Yes, you are tired, but listen. Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity. When we'll meet again, there's only 2 weeks left. Allah Ta'ala is allowing us to hear, Allah is enabling. So let's hear. May Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding. So, if we think now and consider, what's the most important thing? Mending the ties, maintaining the ties. And what's the highest level in this aspect, in mending and maintaining the ties, which is the root, which is the foundation of all of this subject, the key point. What is that? The husband and wife. Say subhanallah. The husband and wife. If the husband and wife weren't present, you wouldn't be here either, would you? Would you be present? So the husband and wife in society is the most important sector, factor. The whole deen society is made from the husband and the wife. Even the wedding, marriage, consider it like Ramadan. Getting married isn't just this, oh, we're married now, and our nafsiyatiya, passions, desires, we can fulfill them. No, in the Quran, it's been prohibited. The objective of getting married is that you have the partner, the woman is the partner, the woman has the man as the partner, that you, in this, through this marriage, you, those ni'mas, the treasure that Allah Ta'ala has given, attain them that Allah Ta'ala has given to you. And that is the children, awlad, that's it. Yes, so it's not for nafs desires, fulfilling the passions and the desires for enjoyment. This is not what this relationship is for, remember this point. Now the verse of the Quran, we won't recite it now, but so this is a very important relationship. Very important relationship. Everything that a man is, a person is, a human being is, it is due to the tarbiyah of the mother, from the womb of the mother, the lap of the mother, Wali Kutub Ghaus, Qayyum. All of these, they are enabled through the lap, the womb of the mother. Thieves, bandits, robbers, they all come from the mother and the father. The tarbiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the lap of the mother, in the love of the father, in both, in the lap of the mother, in the hold of the mother and the love of the father, Allah has instilled such an element that the child, if the tarbiyah is done correctly by the lap and the womb of the mother, by the hold of the mother and the love of the father, even the love of the father spoils the children. The love of the father, when it's spoiled, then the child gets spoiled. The mother's love, when that is spoiled, then the child gets spoiled. So if you take both of these to the wrong side. Oh, no, it's okay. Oh, it's for the sake of the child. Wrong love and correct love, you can take the measurement there. That if your child is following the straight path, since when? Since when the child was born. From adhan, and not oh, when the child grows up, then we'll give tarbiyah. No. At that time when there's no understanding, there is understanding. So, do you understand what I'm saying? Even when we think there's no understanding, there is understanding. Science proves this. The child grips everything. It catches everything. Absorbs everything. When the mother and father fight, quarrel, the child absorbs this. Catches the moods. Catches the swearing and the arguments. We think, though, afterwards, they will realize, no, it becomes at that time that for example, once your actions, what you do, the child is made. What you are, your nature, what you do in front of the child. That's why I stated, the pious elders have stated, that time when you get married, then the man should totally change. That's it. Because now a big responsibility is coming onto him. After a few months, Allah Ta'ala will give him something, and then that's it. It's a different direction. If he doesn't change his direction before marriage, whatever he was, whatever she was, but after marriage, if he's not corrected, improved, refined, he's not spoiling himself. Rather, that generation to come, he is destroying that. And then we have to give the hisab to Allah. So you understand the importance, the big importance of this relationship. The husband and the wife, the relationship. Now this relationship, if it's strong, and alhamdulillah, in this if Allah instills barakah and blessings, and if the success comes through this relationship, then subhanallah. The whole of the subject of maintaining the ties comes through this relationship. The ma'ashara, the society is made. The ma'ashara, the whole of the society is made. Not just the home, not just the family. How? That the tarbiyah, that the child is given, that the child and the son and the daughter, whatever the daughter attains from the company of the mother, when she goes and gets married, then she will also exhibit the same with her husband. Yes, so when the daughter leaves home, then her house is the sample. The house she goes and lives in is the sample of the house she's come from. Then she does the tarbiyah of her children, just like the father's love and the lap and the company of the mother that gave to her. Big effect of this on the child. It's transparent within the child, within the daughter. When she gets married and moves, the adat, the habits, they transfer. Yes, everyone has desires. Oh, I want to make my child a hafiz, I want to make my daughter this, I want to do that. But this is not the case. First, you have to change yourself. You have to improve yourself. And in that house where there are arguments and fights and quarrels, then there's the destruction is there. But then the children go towards destruction. Yes, they become mentally patience, affected. They leave the deen. They go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They go away from Allah. And all of the fault is lying with who? on that couple. And the answer, when that child will be presented in front of Allah, though you used to say dirty things, you'll say, "Ah, what can I do? I couldn't help it. My mother and father, they taught me this. They didn't do my tarbiyah." So all the sin then goes on the head of the parents. So you'll say that, what has this got to Ramadan? Speak about Ramadan, this is the thawab of iftar, etc. But my style is a little bit different. Subhanallah. Everybody knows this. How much thawab is there in iftari time and angels descend? And I'll tell you the real angel, that what relationship does Ramadan have with the relationship of the husband and wife? I'll tell you that today. I was reading Surah Baqarah. Subhanallah, in Surah Baqarah, when I got there, I got to this verse, then I stopped. And today, this is after Jummah, I stopped. I said, "Ooh, this is a very valuable verse." So this is coming in the light of Ramadan. We've never thought about Ramadan and the relationship. So I thought about it, pondered about it. I'm sharing that with you, presenting it to you. So the verse is long. I'll recite it. If I make a mistake, then please correct it, because I'm not a hafiz. If you like it, maybe I'll recite it correctly. Maybe if I can remember. So now, with Ramadan, what link does this have with Ramadan, the husband and wife relationship? That, well, I'm telling you, must be some relationship with it, isn't it? That's why I'm speaking about it. So it's so valuable, this relationship that Allah Ta'ala, what does He say in the Quran? Think. The verse starts like this. Allah says, "I've made for you halal when?" Subhanallah. In Ramadan, in the nights of Ramadan. Subhanallah. Uhilla lakum. Yani everything that Allah Ta'ala had stopped, Allah says that, what is Allah saying? Especially Allah Ta'ala is explaining the uhilla lakum. Laylatul Sayyam. Such a valuable night, Allah Ta'ala says, that I make something halal for you at that time. Halal. Listen. What is Allah making halal? What is Allah Ta'ala saying? No, this is halal. Allah says, this you can do. Most definitely, that if Allah Ta'ala is making something halal, then behind that there must be a big history. What is it Allah Ta'ala is making halal? And that's also in the night. And that is in the night of Ramadan, which in that comes Laylatul Qadr. Everything is valuable. All the moments are valuable. The nights of Ramadan are valuable. Subhanallah. Ajeeb, unique. So what's Allah Ta'ala making halal? Uhilla lakum. Then Allah says, what I'm explaining to you. And the word that comes here, Allahu Akbar. Uhilla lakum laylatas siyami arrafathu ila nisaikum. I'm making halal for you that you can go to your wife without the hijab, without the barrier. In the nights of ibadah, valuable nights. Allah Ta'ala says that, beware, don't go, you don't carry out the action, stay on the prayer mat. But no, what is Allah Ta'ala saying? That you can go to your wife, lawful for you to go unto your wives, it's halal for you during the night. So there's a hikmah. What's the hikmah Allah Ta'ala has kept here? That this is such a great relationship, that for the strength of this relationship, Allah Ta'ala has given 30 days. Don't stay detached from her. So during the day, if you were to stay detached for 30 days, that fitna was to be created and there will be a weakness in the relationship. This love is so important that during the nights also you have to keep it existent. Subhanallah. Maintain it. Because this is a very dangerous relationship. Behind this is a lot of shaitan and his attacks. Sahih hadith. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith in Mishkat. That shaitan, what he does everything, and it takes a human being towards negative. He attacks the human being, takes him towards wrong. So what does shaitan do? He lays his foundation on the ocean. And all his sidekicks, his workers who are trained, he calls them, he says, go and do the work and come back to me and report that. What fitna did you spread in the country, in the world? Shaitan spread across the whole world, fitna, strife, murder, plundering and alcohol and sins and vice. He says, come back to me in the evening and give me the report. Allah's Nabi said, when the sidekick shayateen come back and he says, you've done nothing. He said, I committed, made him do murder, I did this sin and this. He said, you've not done nothing. Then one sidekick, Shaitan, says, I've done something wrong. He said, what did you do? He said that I went to a husband and wife and I didn't leave them. I injected such negative inside between them that until they didn't commit divorce, I didn't leave them. And he stands from his throne. Rasulullah is telling us that Shaitan stands from his throne and he embraces that work. He says, you've done the right work. You've done the right work. He said, you have achieved that. You've done such a big action that you have destroyed their generations and you've destroyed that relationship. You've made them commit divorce. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated then that the worst, most dangerous thing for the human being is this. So Allah Ta'ala has given him not even 30 days that you leave each other. Allah says that you should stay detached from each other. And in this, so that fitna is created, such a separation is created. So Allah Ta'ala keeps them close. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, "As-siyami ar-rafathu ila nisa'ikum, hunna libasulakum." Allah says that your love can be maintained, the relationship can be maintained, and fitna doesn't arise. So one point here, the hint that's been given is that in every way or form, this relationship needs to be maintained, kept in existence, kept strong. In every way or form, that this should not break, should not be weak. That once a woman comes into nikah, the man comes into nikah, keep it existent, maintain it from both sides, there should be effort. And no fitna should be allowed to enter into this relationship. It's a big destruction if it does occur. So Ramadan is given this message. And then further, what does it say in the verse? Allah Ta'ala says, "Hunna libasul lakum." That they are a garment for you. Your wife is a garment for you. Wa antum libasul lahunna. In other words, the woman, your wife, is a garment for you, and you, O man, are as a garment for them, for the women. Allahu Akbar. Libas. What does this mean? Libas, garment. The Mufassirin, the commentators, said a beautiful thing. That, for example, like you've worn clothes. You've worn clothes. I'm wearing clothes. For example, there's a man who takes his shirt off. So his body, obviously you can start seeing that there's a defect, there's a boil, there's a mole, somebody's got a stomach operation, there's stitches, somebody, for example, is disfigured. But libas, the garment, it hides the defects of the body. Subhanallah. Libas, the garment, the quality of your clothes is that it conceals your defects. Also makes you look beautiful, handsome, etc. But clothes, first action, first, you could say objective function is that they hide your defects and it creates haya, shame, modesty, teaches modesty and shame. Soon as the clothes come off, then your shame disappears. After becoming a person who has no shame, when the person who has no shame, first the clothes come off. The clothes. So the libas example, hunna libas, Allah says, hunna libasul lakum, wa antum libasul lahunna. The wife, she is as a garment for you, and you, O husband, are a garment for your wife. In other words, you are so close to each other, attached to each other, though you for each other, you are those who conceal each other's defects. Subhanallah. And that, what is the warning from the Quran? That beware, beware, don't do such an action that inside you, that your husband, if he's got a deficiency, and you go, oh wife, and tell, oh he doesn't give me this, he says this to me, he does this to me, he doesn't do this with me. Rather, what does Allah say? That the defects of your husband, hide them, just like your clothes hide your defects. The same way, husband, oh man, your wife's defects, secrets, keep them a secret. Conceal them, don't make them apparent, don't tell other people. Like a libas, hide them. Hunna libas. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna. Both things have been explained here. So one is that keep this relationship in existence, maintain it, keep it strong, don't let it break. And second factor in this verse, second explanation, that amongst people, society, don't share your secrets with a complain about your husband to others, or the husband complains about his wife to other people, to as far as possible. Keep the secrets within your home to yourself as a secret. These two things, but both things today are such a big ibadah, such a great mujahidah, striving, that you will not see this striving in any other ibadah. Yes, it's not easy to do this. It's not easy to just keep all ibadah worship to one side. Every human being can do this. But to have such a husband that he doesn't give you the rights, he pesters you, he swears to you, he makes you upset. And that wife, to live with that husband, and just like the Quran says that you need to not tell other people about his defects and have sabr, patience, and with sabr, bring up your children and spend the time. Don't be in a rush. Then for that, the reward Allah keeps until Ramadan. Allah says the reward is massive. Massive. Practices. Ramadan makes us practices. Look how Ramadan makes us practice this. Extremely high, valuable rewards for the husband and the wife, both of them. Look, this relationship comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rishta, you select, you do istikhara, you do everything, you get married. But after that, you don't know about the human being. That person you got married to, Allah has written that person into your destiny, your partner. So the knot has been tied. Then the deen continues like this. That the deen is so strong, this relationship is so strong for you. The small, small points, call my mom, complain to your mom, your dad, phone ma, oh he did this, and the husband phones mother and father, and complain to your relationships, relatives and other people. Allah says, this is extremely a bad action to do. To take the secrets out of the home. This is not deen. Then you're praying salah, doing hajj on top of that, and doing other ibadat, worship. But this is not deen. The biggest pillar of the deen you've crushed. So what are you wandering around doing afterwards? What salah have you got? What hajj? What fasting? What Ramadan? Nothing. The real deen, you've crushed it. You've suppressed it through which a generation was to come. You've destroyed that. So if a person, alhamdulillah, he perseveres through this mujahada, through his life, perseveres with patience, great reward Allah Ta'ala has set aside for that person. What's the reward Allah Ta'ala set aside? Sahih Bukhari hadith, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, look at the reward, massive reward. Khairukum khairukum ahlihi wa ana khairum ahlihi. This is hadith. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sahih Bukhari hadith. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that the best human being is that person who with his family he is best. I didn't mention ibadah in this hadith, the khalaq, that the best human being is he who is best with his family, good to his family. He's the best human being with akhlaq, conduct, with manners, perseverance, endurance, patience. He has patience, he waits. I have to continue this relationship. I have to maintain it, keep it in existence. I have to bring up my children properly. I have to take this relationship right to the end. On small points, I'm not going to break it. Even if it's a small thing, even if it's a big mission for you, you get a mission, an objective that with this woman, you need to live your life in all ways. Even if you don't like what she's saying or doing, whether she gives to you or not, whatever, you need to continue to maintain that tie. Allah Ta'ala has given you a target. Good, you carry on now. Continue. Now, you need to please your wife and you need to do ibadah to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala as well. You need to worship Allah. You need to keep her happy. You need to implement Hajj as well. But first look at your ahl, your family before going on Hajj. Is your wife happy with you? Is your family, your people in your family, are they happy with you? Are they content? Have you supplied to them? Provided them? No, it's not easy just to do divorce, leave the family. Yes, it's permissible. In the hadith, this is from all the permissible things. The thing that's disliked the most is divorce, to leave, to break the tie of marriage. Yes, if there are such severe conditions, very difficult indeed, extremely difficult, that totally there's no way out, no solution, no other way. They're right at the end point, then it's that step is taken of divorce. Otherwise, divorce, you have to mend the tie, maintain the tie, keep it in existence. On every footstep, there's paradise. You get a few Hajj thawab on every footstep of marriage, a few Ramadan thawab on every footstep of marriage, a few Ramadan fast thawab on every footstep of marriage. Now here, the walis of Allah example here that we don't even know, alhamdulillah, we don't even realize. So this is the real point that we learn here. That the friends of Allah, the ibadah, the real ibadah is maintaining the ties, maintaining the relationships, good conduct, good manners. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look how he did tarbiyah with his children. What a great point. He said, then when the mother and father, they come together, and after that, then they do tarbiyah of their children, bring the children up correctly, and they maintain the tie, they promote the tie, the thawab that Rasulullah explained to us, that I say that you cannot get from any other ibadah. What a great ajr and reward, if you think about it. The Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is stated in the hadith, that any individual, if he brings up his two daughters correctly, subhanallah, and he does tarbiyah of the daughters in a right way, with suluk and correctly, the right way, the right manners and the right approach, then in Jannah he'll be with me so close, just like my two fingers are close to each other. And he put his two fingers close to each other. Allahu Akbar. He said about two. And if they've got more than two daughters, three daughters, then subhanallah. then he's got more, alhamdulillah, more reward Allah Ta'ala has kept there. The more, and the special reward is for which Allah Ta'ala selected, that the woman is weak, tender, and the tarbiyah, not for the son, for the son. What's the reason here? Think about it. For this reason, that the woman's tarbiyah, especially has been mentioned here, that she has to go to another house when she gets married and moves to another home. She has to continue that work. And this is such a valuable thing, the daughter, that we are afraid of. We are afraid of a daughter. Sometimes when a daughter is born, very few people give the mitai, the sweets out. The son's not even born and the mitai boxes are distributed. Alhamdulillah, good thing. Good thing, nothing wrong with that. But what's the reason here? The Allah Ta'ala prefers, when you bring up the daughter correctly, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his Ahl, how did it continue? How did our Hazrat had three daughters, mashallah. Mashallah, all children, they passed away. Yes, beloved to Allah, dear to Allah, three daughters, subhanallah. And with this sunnah, Allah Ta'ala also gave me three daughters with the fadl of Allah. Subhanallah. So we see this. That two daughters, if three daughters, you do tarbiyah, you bring them up correctly, you give them good education, and upbringing, and teaching. And today look at the generation, how it passes through, the life passes through. This is all tarbiyah, based on tarbiyah. That crush your desires, crush your longings and your wants. Tarbiyah is in this, whatever the child one gives them, whatever she asks for, give to her. This is not tarbiyah. Tarbiyah is this, such a tarbiyah that after departing the world, she also gives birth to such children who believe in Allah and his Rasulullah and obey them and follow Rasulullah. This is tarbiyah. The wali and ghawth are born from that child. And this should be the target, that Allah, I've got a mission, the children you give to me, I want to make walis for my children. Alhamdulillah, even today there are such women present that when the child is born, prior to the child being born, she changes herself and their target becomes this, that I want to, Allah, live a life that I want to make my children ghulam of you, Habib, so that my child follows the sunnah. Their muhabbat, their love, their desires, their playing, their toys, their libas, their clothes. As soon as my child is born, I want to treat my children in that way, so that they live their life like this. There are women like this, I can demonstrate to you, show you. There are many women like this in this day and age. In this country, you will see those women. There's a difference is what? That we think deen is just confined to the masjid. But the faqirs, the wali, if you sat in the wali wala's company, they didn't consider deen as worship. They considered the whole life as the branch of the deen. Subhanallah. Yes, somebody, they told, their parents told them everything, A to Z of the deen. That in the gatherings of the wali, you don't just get told one thing. Everything, all the subjects are taught so that the clean, complete mazhab and deen is learned. That every subject I can be successful. Every factor of life I can be successful. I'm successful. So Ramadan tells us this today, alhamdulillah. That this is not a minor thing, a great relationship. You have to maintain this relationship and progress it. This is a great ibadah, great worship. If any woman does this for this reason, that my children, I'll bring them up and give them the right bring, I'll make them hafiz and the qari and the wali Allah. And then brothers, the result of this comes out. But for that, you have to do mujahidat and strive and make effort. And hunger, poverty, people swearing, mocking, jesting. Allah's kept a reward for this. Not a small reward, is it? What has been stated? You'll get that same thing. Allah's Nabi says, you'll get his love. You'll get his neighborhood. Just like you'll get closest to him, just like the two fingers were close to each other. How much we don't know. What a great maqam if a person gets this through this ibadah. If a person gives up everything to do this, to maintain this relationship. And so this verse is very valuable. And in the light of Ramadan, Allah presented this to us. Not just this, Allah has given the permission, not for shahwat, for passions and desires, for this reason, so that the relationship during Ramadan remains with barakah and blessings. And especially remember this, that in Ramadan, there's a lot of fasad between the husband and wife. Nafs creates that. Lot of fasad. The food, sahri time, why didn't you cook this food? Why didn't you make this? Because eventually the stomach's empty and the nafs overpowers the man. So in the house, the husband and wife start fighting, quarreling, arguing. So Allah Ta'ala says in Ramadan, in the beginning, Allah says with regards to this, control yourself strongly. The best person is he in the hereafter, who with his children, he bears witness, the children bear witness that my father was good, he did good tarbiyah for me, he taught me deen, brought me towards the deen, he saved me, and he gave up, made big sacrifices for me. In my blood, he did not allow any morsel of haram to come into my blood. He didn't allow any morsel of food to come into my blood system. That every morsel of food, everything, he said, Al-An, whatever I have a struggle, I much as I've struggled with God, one morsel, an atom of haram to go into him. So that every drop of blood, he gets the enjoyment of remembering Allah. This is basically where it starts from. This is the biggest responsibility of tarbiyah for the father. Just like the mother's responsibility is that in her lap, she instills the love of Allah into the child from her lap, from her company. In the same way, the father, the man's responsibility is that all the deen is made how? How is it made? From the khuraq, from the food of a person, what he eats. And this is the topic of Ramadan. This will come also. Ramadan also will train us on this point. Teach us this point. That everything of a human being, his actions, everything a human being is made from the food that's halal. If it's halal wealth, halal earnings, then you see your deen. And then, for example, even with the haram, there will be hafiz. Even with the haram, you'll get the alim. Even with the haram, you can get a mufti. Even with the haram, you can rear the children. With the haram, you can become a sheikh and a peer. What a sheikh? You become a peer, not a sheikh. And all of these will be fake. All of these sectors will be fake. And everything, the hafiz, the qari, the mufti, the peer, it'll be like there's a flower growing from a weak plant. You'll see some plants, they're weak, there's no stem, the stem is weak, the branch is weak, because it doesn't have the power, doesn't have the strength, doesn't have the soil, the vitality, but it will give off the mangoes. But if there's a hafiz, a qari, or a peer, or a scholar, etc., who's made through the weak plant, through the rizki haram, then the fitna will be spread by that person. All of the sin will go into the father. Before you made him an alim, do you not think that inside him you should have instilled halal rizq? Why did you feed him haram? So understand, the father understands that if he had a tarbi of a peer, a true wali Allah, so when his children are born, then he swears by Allah that from today the door of haram is closed. There will be hungry, poverty mother, she's prepared the wife, that if you are doing this for my children, then from today your wife will never demand you wrong gold or silver or clothes or powder or makeup. We'll stay hungry, but our children, you and halal, and from my lap inshallah, qala qala Rasulullah will come from the mouth of the children. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, do you understand what I'm saying? You understand? We complain, we get up, this complain, that complain. Deen, take the principle, the pillar in the right way. When a farmer sows the seed, he goes towards the soil. When you get married and bring a girl to your home, you don't get married for your lust and passions. Oh, my girls, come, let's enjoy ourselves. That's to an extent, set a limit. The real objective the Quran is telling us is that with your wife, husband-wife relationship, you are being given a great ibadah. Makkah and Medina, both will be present in your home. Jannah and hellfire, paradise, both can come into your home. And this is such a relationship until the qiyamah, your generation will continue. We don't know about rizq. Father's earning haram. He doesn't save himself from haram. He goes, takes the children towards the other side. Make them high status. I don't want him to do this for that person, do this for that child. I don't want to be dishonored, disobedient. I don't want them to say that he's my son. He hasn't got good clothes. He's not got good studies, education. No, no, give him many houses and properties. Oh, son of a human being, have you ever left the world with a house or property? And your children, will they give you a house? They've only given you water to drink, your son or daughter, when they're brought up in a haram way. And there will be no satisfaction at the home. No, he's a hafiz, he's this, he's that. The hafiz that will be born after that, even they'll be from haram. They will also spread fitna and fasad. That if they sit on the minbar and spread the fitna, the people and the peers who say wrong to the human beings and hiddat, bidat and haram that they create. And those people who sit on the minbar and say haram actions, say haram words. Why? Because they were brought up for the wrong purpose. They didn't have halal rizq inside their bodies. They had halal rizq in the minbar of Rasulullah, subhanallah. From that you will get such a light that from his tongue one nasiha, thousands of people's hearts are changed for better. Such a shaykh comes, the one towards you, one attention of his. Hundreds of thousands of the gathering, he will wash their hearts. Is this a minor thing? Musalla, imam, Quran is a small thing. Ilm is a small thing. It doesn't have impact. High impact, a person is trembled that if there's Quran in the heart and such actions, people in Ilm today, astaghfirullah, tawbah in Ramadan, lying, fraud, fighting, quarreling, disputes. Such words in Ramadan, the person thinks inside them, is there Quran? Is there ilm, knowledge inside these people? Such disobedience, such wrong actions against the mother and father. And dishonoring, disrespecting, swearing at the mother.
Yeah, the heart, the Quran, the heart, and swearing at the mother stood there and dishonoring, disrespecting father. Ilm is being given to you. Why? Because that child did not grow up with rizq halal. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. That is not the fault of the ilm. It's not the fault of the Quran. Rather, we utilize the Quran, put the Quran in the wrong place. You put it on the wrong rail, the wrong shelf. You put the Quran, it came into the impure heart. So you'll get separate punishment for that. Today, the masala that I'm sharing, I read the Quran. Have I read it correctly, brothers? You understand what I'm saying? So me, I just stopped there and I said, oh, let me talk about this. This is a reality and truth, but Ramadan's given us this message. If in this Ramadan, if we pondered, reflected, if you don't talk about today, think about it, and you correct your path today, then the barakah of Ramadan, the whole year of yours will be corrected. Today, we swear the children, tell them of my alim, scholar, I did this to you, I did this for you. Today, this is a statement from the men, the tongues. I sacrificed for you, I spent time for you, I did this for you. You didn't do nothing for your children, oh man. You should do one action for your child, one action. That feed, you should not feed your children haram. You should not have gone towards their haram desires. Not give haram food, give halal food. I swear by Allah, Allah's law, nobody can change it. It cannot be that from a certain tree, like a mango tree, that you break off the apple. Can it be? No. With haram, if you sow that seed, then the color will not take effect. Doesn't matter how much Quran they read. Doesn't matter how much Qiraat you teach them. How much, whatever you do, doesn't matter. It cannot be success. For this, first, the human being needs to crush his own desires to get the fruit from that tree. First, he has to stay hungry himself. He has to crush his desires and enjoyment. He's my son. If I feed him haram, if I feed haram, the first I need to stay hungry myself, correct myself, and I'll have to eat in the right way. You can't do tarbiyah just like this for the that we leave homes 10, 15 years, don't know where the wife is, with children, who's bringing up the children, uncle, aunties bring up children, and you're getting some risk. Can somebody else do tarbiyah? If you should give the son to you, and others will do tarbiyah, who'll give the answer to this? Yes, my words may be severe and strict. Maybe if you don't get anything to eat wherever you live, but sit there first, give the tarbiyah to your son and your daughter. This is your right. Can it be, maybe halal hasn't gone into that child. Maybe that's why that child is doing her wrong. So how can it be that Allah's given me a gift and I do tarbiyah of the children, I assign them to somebody else? Can this happen? Is this possible? Big mistake in society today. Parents leave. In front of us, we just have one objective, that do hajj, do umrah, and Ramadan comes to keep the fast and do this ibadah, that ibadah. So where's your deen of the family? Don't know about your family, the wife, the children. So the Quran is telling us this today, subhanallah. La'allakum. Allah says that uhilla lakum laylat as-siyam, I've made halal lawful for you your wives. Arafatu. What's the philosophy behind this? So that your relationship with your wife becomes stronger and you have more love and it increases, so that the generation that's born from you, there's more capacity, they have more capacity to do good, and you can do the tarbiyah in the right way. May Allah Ta'ala give to us all the tawfiq, the ability, that we all during this Ramadan, on these beautiful points of Ramadan, we can do proper amal, correct ourselves, and to correct the house is not hard. For this, you just have to give up a few things. And give up for who? To please Allah. Not that Allah, when you please Allah, when you make sacrifices, there's no reward. No. On this topic, if for this sake of Ramadan, you please Allah, what a great reward. Allah says, you will be with me. Rasulullah, somebody said, you will be with me, just like these two fingers are close to each other. Tell me, can you get this from any other bazaar? For any other bazaar, Rasulullah said this, that after Hajj, you will be close to me like these two fingers. After Umrah, you'll be close to me just like these two fingers. Did he say that? All night long, you stay awake, you'll be close to me just like these two fingers are close. Never has he said this. Such a ibadah, he said this, about which that your life is spent doing this ibadah. Your life is spent. May Allah Ta'ala give to us all the tawfiq. Ameen.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Mursaleen. Shafi'i al-Muzalameen. Ata'a wa yazin. Bismillah. Ameen imullah. Ameen irab. Ehamari khalik. Eparur digar. ہم پہ رحم فرما یا اللہ ہم پہ رحم فرما یا اللہ ہم پہ رحم فرما یا کریم یہ رمضان ہمارے لیے بہترین رمضان مناتے ہیں یا اللہ تم پہ کرم فرما ہم سب کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ اس مجلس کو قبول فرما جو بھی جہاں بھی اس مجلس میں شامل ہیں مولا ان کی تمام معاملات کو پورا فرما ان کی تمام بیماریوں کو دور فرما ان کے گھروں میں سکون نصیب فرما ان کی حاجتوں کو پورا فرما یا اللہ ہمارے مریضوں کو شفا نصیب فرما، قلبی جسمانی شفا نصیب فرما، ہمارے گھروں کو جنت بنا، ہماری اولادوں کو آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بنا۔ یا کریم اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہمیں بار بار ذکر کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما۔ وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین۔ سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون، وسلام علی المرسلین، والحمد للہ رب العالمین۔